T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jonathan Wells is with us, North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, here in the studio. In studio with us,
J-Dub. What's up, baby?
How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm still a hangover from the Super Bowl celebration in Cleveland.
Fans were going bananas. Have you ever seen anything like that?
It was incredible.
It was like a Super Bowl celebration.
I saw Dustin leaving the stadium when I was driving home.
Yeah. Jada was walking out. I was like, yeah.
He's like, we got our quarterback.
Found him, baby.
It was incredible. No, listen, I was happy for the city, man. It was a big-time win, and Baker was everything that we could hope for, so let's hope he can continue that.
Right, exactly. Now everybody's going a little nuts. You got to see it. You know, guys got to play a couple of years before we know how good he is. It's only a half, but
I won't even say a couple of years. If he does this for 6 games, I'm all in.
You're all in.
Yeah, I'm all in right now.
Yeah, sure.
For what we had, yeah, you could definitely see the difference between him and Tyrod instantly. So, therefore, I'm all in on the kid. But at the same time, it's going to take 4, 5, 6 weeks for me to really get a pulse on, you know, how great he can be.
If he plays as well, and again, he's a rookie. There'll be some ups. There'll be some games he doesn't play as well. But if he plays generally well this season and they finish 6, 7 wins, are you going to look back and say, man, why didn't they start him week 1?
Absolutely not.
Wins? No?
Absolutely not. I was all for Tyrod playing. I thought he would play better. Like I said, I thought he played a much better game in New Orleans, 22 for 30, 246, you know, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. I thought he played better. But the first half of that game was putrid. I mean, it was terrible. I don't know what happened to him. I thought he would be a much more solid quarterback than he came in and he was. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is. It's Baker's team now, and I'm all for that.
I'll tell you what, I'm thankful that it happened. I feel bad that Tyrod had to go down with a concussion, because you never want to see a guy lose his job due to injury. But it's almost, I mean, for the Browns and for the fans and for the team, it's almost a blessing in disguise, because I don't think that Hugh Jackson or anybody in that building was going to go to Baker, even if they lost that game. And I'm telling you, they were on pace the way that felt. And I was down there, and you could feel it and see what guys' emotions are like. It looked like that was going to be a 4-touchdown loss to them.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, listen, I was in the press box, and right when Tyrod got knocked out, I was packing my things up to leave and go home.
Right. You thought it was over.
It was terrible. So I'm like, this is pathetic. So when I see Baker get in and drive down, I'm like, okay, let me go on and stick it out, you know, that first series. So he definitely sparked the team. But that's who he was in college, and that's all you can hope for. The guy makes guys want to play. The thing that stood out to me was after the game, was I was driving home and I was listening to the interviews of Juice Landry, and it was like, did you ever, you know, doubt, you know, Baker? He was like, man, never doubt 6. When I heard him say that, I'm like, this kid has a special relationship with these players that, you know, I haven't been able to be around a team, so I don't know that chemistry. I haven't seen in practice. I haven't seen any of that. But he has a relationship and a confidence in those other guys that is really stout for a veteran player to step up like that and say that.
Just to piggyback that point, there is something between Adam and J-Dub, between Baker and Jarvis. I don't know exactly what it is, but there was a moment in the game, Adam, where Baker hits Jarvis right in between the numbers, and it's a drop. Remember, it was on the drive when they were going down for the go-ahead touchdown.
Right. Yep.
And Jarvis, he gets up, and he's frustrated with himself. He puts his finger up. He looks at Baker like, and he kind of like points to him like, that's me. I got you. And Baker looked back at him, shook his head, and then they moved on.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they came right back. He actually had a penalty. But then he caught the big one down around the 4-yard line.
It was a great throw, and an amazing
catch.
Yeah.
But then those two came off on the sidelines and continued to sort of like go, like almost like become, they're like, looked like they were brothers.
Yeah. And I'm big on body language, especially with coaches and players.
Yeah.
Listen, Landry was about to tap out on Tyrod. Like, he was done. Like, he didn't want anything to do with him. They weren't talking on the sideline. Tyrod was off by himself. There was no chemistry there between those guys for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And like you said, Dustin, as soon as Baker coming, you could just see the huddle. You could just see him light up and just everybody just wanted to get it done, man. And, you know, that's the special quality that Baker brought at Oklahoma.
I think a couple of big differences is Baker throws with anticipation, which all the great quarterbacks do. And when he gets out of the – now, Tyrod's a much better athlete than Baker Mayfield is –
I don't know. Maybe. Well, I don't know.
He's a better athlete. Maybe not much better. Maybe much is a little strong.
Like Baker's a 4.8 guy, but, and Tyrod's a 4.4
That's 40 time. But right. when you're looking at Baker scrambling in the pocket, he's looks athletic.
He's definitely athletic. Yeah. He keeps his eyes up. He's looking to throw the ball. Tyrod's looking to run, which I get to some degree because that's what he did in Buffalo, and he didn't have great receivers there.
Right.
But when you have the talent like Jarvis Landry, and even the talent, you know, unproven, but David Njoku and Callaway are talented, you have those guys. You want to let them make the plays. You're not going to win consistently with the quarterback running the football.
I definitely agree there. And, you know, the one pass that just showed me that he has it when he broke out and scrambled to the right and he – motion for the receiver to come back, and he hit the guy on a line drive.
That was Orson Charles,
and
right.
he dropped it.
Yeah,
this kid got something.
He gave him a chance.
Yeah, he gave him a chance. Perfect ball. Absolutely. You got to make that play. I mean, they had three drop balls that were absolutely perfect balls that he threw in that game as well. So I'm excited, but at the same time, now you got a week to prepare for him. You got to travel out to the West Coast this week. So I want to really see if he can keep that pace that he had the offense moving at this week against Oakland.
Yeah, it wouldn't stun me, right, like if game was a little more uneven this week. Because as you say, you get thrown in there in the middle of the game. It's all juice and you're fair. But now you're the guy. They're preparing for you all week. You're preparing for them all week. There's a little more pressure. I don't know. I think he's going to play well, but there'll be some ups and downs along the way.
Listen, one thing I love, the kid has the mojo. He has the swag. He has the confidence. So just
the whole offense just picked up its intensity,
Like
the energy level.
They're waiting for him. In his mind, he's like, I'm going against a 29th ranked defense in the NFL. I'm about to torch y'all. That's the moxie and that's the swag he plays with, and that's what this organization has been missing.
No doubt.
So therefore, whether he plays well or not, it's still an energy boost that the organization and the fans and everybody needed to see.
You think the running game and defense played better because of the way Baker was playing?
Well, absolutely. When you can throw the ball down the field for more than 5 or 6 yards, that definitely opens up holes. And when linebackers and safeties can't, you know, 8-man, 9-man in the box, I mean, it makes it hard to run the football. I think Hyde, you know, he broke off a run early in that game, 22-yarder. So Hyde came out ready to play regardless. But definitely, once Baker got rolling, you know, they got to back up and they got to respect the passing game.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a different pep in the step for the offense. You know, the defense had to respect the pass for once. And, you know, I noticed early in the game when Tyrod was in there, and Jamal Adams, number 33, their safety, was inside the box. Like, he was creeping up to like 4 or 5 yards of the line of scrimmage and nearly blitzing almost every time. And I'm like, well, we got to take that away.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Baker comes in and is a threat down the field. You know, for not just 5 yards at a clip. I mean, he's throwing the ball for 20 yards in the air, like deep throws down the field. That is what opened up, I thought, the offense to the defense and then the running game and just the confidence of the offensive line. You know, again, Baker's off on the sidelines, like talking to the offensive line.
Yeah.
Getting on the same page with what these guys are trying to do. It all coincides. And we saw the results of it on Thursday night. And you talk about the defense, too. Both of you guys did just now. I thought the defense responded in a big way. They looked like they were starting to get gassed and frustrated with the offense. Like, man, here we go again.
Yeah.
You know, we got to go out here again for what? To just try to get the ball back to our offense to go 3 and out? That is something that becomes frustrating.
It's infectious. When you have a leader that everybody respects, I don't care if it's first year player, 10 year. When you have a leader that you just know his competitive nature, you know his winning ability. I mean, not in the NFL, but in college, the guy was a winner. He played against Georgia, scorched them. I mean, the guy played against the top competition in college and proved that he can be this type of player, which is why I was high on him coming out of the draft over Darnold. But, you know, for when you get that in your locker room and in your huddle, it just moves throughout the team, man, and it does something special. So we'll see if they can keep it up this week.
I know you were a little worried about the height. Wasn't a factor in this one game.
Wasn't a factor.
Yeah.
Wasn't a factor.
He seems to, like, the great short quarterbacks, Wilson and Breeze.
Yes.
Find a way to find, they find the angles, and their height's a non-factor.
Yeah.
Or a minor factor, if anything.
It was a minor factor. Listen, he was getting that snap and letting that ball go before you can blink an eye.
Yeah.
And that's what Drew Breeze does. Drew Breeze does not hold that ball back there. He knows where he wants to go. He studied you. He understands the weakness in your defense, and he continuously exploits it. And like I said before, they played the Saints. This kid has that type of ability to be a Drew Breeze in this league. We just had to see it.
I just wanted
to see it. I didn't think he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see it in the NFL level.
Yeah.
And he played against the NFL defense and made them look like a college team. And that was very impressive to me.
Especially because the Jets defense looked great in the first half.
Exactly. So, you know, it's good reason to be excited here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out a lot more here Sunday.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him, you know, start a whole game. And, you know, the Raiders are 0-3, so they're going to be a desperate team. I don't think, you know, and they've been in all their games, but they've found a way to lose.
Mm-hmm.
They're an older team. They're a veteran team, but they're not very good defensively.
The last number one overall pick to win his opening day start.
Or his first start.
His first start was your old quarterback.
David Carr. I was there.
2002.
I witnessed it.
Dallas Cowboys. That's the last rookie to win his first start?
Number one overall pick.
Number one.
Okay. Yeah, number
quarterback,
one
number one overall pick to win their first start.
Speaking of Dave, I was watching him on NFL Network, and I got a perspective from him that I hadn't thought about because they asked him would he start Baker because of what he went through as a rookie and being sacked so many times.
Yeah.
And he said he thinks that it's just a different league, and these QBs, because of the offenses they run in college, they're able to handle more of an NFL playbook. He said when he got his playbook, it was like Chinese to him. He had no clue of what he wanted to do. But he said now that these guys have been in the spread offense, they're throwing the ball all over the place, you know, he felt like he would start Baker. So I had to take that into consideration because I was against it.
Yeah. It's an interesting point because you'd think if anybody would say sit a guy,
right.
It would be him who got so damaged by playing early in his career. That is amazing. All right. We're hanging out here talking with Jonathan Wells. He's going to be in with us till 5 o'clock. We'll get to some Buckeyes a little bit later, including a big game coming up this week. Right now we're talking about the Browns. And by the way, how about the new kicker, 2-for-2?
Barely.
Hit his
one
PATs.
And a half. one of them squeaked in there, but hey we'll take it how count. We can get it.
They count.
That's right. He's good count. For now until he misses next week, count. And then we're looking to fire him. And that's the life of a kicker, man.
I mean, did you find it odd that the kicker got – fired after one bad game? Geez, Louise. Boy, that's a short leash in the NFL. My goodness.
It was a pretty bad game, and it wasn't his first bad game.
This year.
He wasn't that bad overall last year, though. He was decent.
No, but he cost him
He missed at least a game.
Okay.
So this is
the leash is short in the NFL. One bad week, you out of here. Wow,
I mean, there's more pressure on kickers than, like, anybody.
Yeah.
If you're unproven.
Yeah, that was, like, 3 kickers that got fired last week.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what's funny, guys, is that, you know, we made this – you and I used to argue about this all the time about how they – by putting the PAT back, that it wouldn't be that big of a factor. It's tougher than you think to make those little 33-yarders.
It is.
They're not guaranteed, guys.
No. Especially for a kicker whose job is on the line.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, I mean, think about in inclement weather, you know, that's a tough kick from shooting back from 35, 37 yards as opposed to 10, 17 yards. So
there's more thinking to it. I mean, the amount of, you know.
The room for error.
Excuse me. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. The room for error you have on these longer, even though it's 33 yards, it's still
small.
A lot less than it is from 20.
It's small.
No doubt. Myles Garrett had 2 more sacks in this game, guys. And he now has 11 sacks in 14 NFL games. That's a pretty good ratio right there.
That's pretty stout right there.
In fact, he's tied for the NFL lead right now with 4 sacks on the season. I know it's early. Too crazy. But I don't know. Joe Schobert played a good game. Larry Ogunjobi played really well.
Yep.
Again, he's been a force in the interior of that defensive line early.
Well, when you're playing next to Miles and he's getting double and triple teamed, I mean, you're supposed to make plays when you get one-on-one, so he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Anybody else, Dustin, impress you or
I mean, I'm so impressed.
Defensively.
I'm so impressed with Denzel Ward. Every week he makes a play.
Makes a play every week.
For a top pick to be out there every week, creating turnovers. I think he's done a nice job.
What do we think of Jabril Peppers?
He's been active coming up from the safety.
He got banged up a little bit in that game Thursday.
Yeah.
He left for about a quarter and a half, but he was back. I don't know. I like Jernard Avery a lot. It'll be nice to get Christian Kirksey back. Have we heard an update on him?
I think I might have heard he should be back this week. I'm not.
I was thinking
don't
he should
quote
be
me.
Back this week.
Yeah, there was a chance. I mean, obviously he's got 10 days coming off this last game, and he hasn't played the last 2. They could use him back, obviously, his veteran present. Veteran. I mean, he's still a pretty young guy, but on this team, he's a veteran. But, listen, the defense right now, again, it's early, and the numbers can sometimes – it's funny. Like,
I'm not taking anything away from him.
No, I'm not. In fact, I'm giving them more credit.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, like, last year, the Browns defense – just had it and I lost it. Okay, hold on 1 second. Last year, the Browns' defense, so in terms of rankings on defense, it goes by yardage, which whether you like that or not, that's how it goes. And the Browns ranked 14th in terms of yardage last year.
Yeah, 14th.
And I didn't buy them as the 14th best defense. I didn't buy it. You did?
I did. I spoke with Greg. Listen, they were very competitive on the defensive side of the ball last year. They just didn't get any offensive help to kind of pull out some of those victories. But I thought that they were right there. I mean, they were only about 8 yards from being in the top 10 as far as the average.
I hear you, but they were 31st in points allowed.
Yeah.
Which is bad. And this year they're 13th in yards. But they're 11th in points allowed. Again, it's only three games. I think, according to rankings, they're only one spot higher right now. But I think this defense is a lot better. Remember, Myles Garrett was banged up last year.
I think that was the youngest team in football last year. So
they've
had a year to mature. You know what I mean?
Right, and but Denzel Ward's a rookie. I mean, right. Their rookies have had an impact.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett has been better so far this year. He was up and down, missed the beginning of the season last year. I shouldn't say he was up and down. When he was playing, he played well. He just was hurt a lot, and he was, now he's healthy. Ward has made an immediate impact. Peppers couldn't really, especially the way they used him last year. And so I think the defense is significantly better, even though the yardage says they're only a little better than they were last year.
All about turnovers, guys.
Been a huge difference.
Agreed. All about turnovers. Agreed.
Very opportunistic defense, which is, a characteristic of Greg Williams. So, they've been getting that ball out of there, poking it out of there, doing what they got to do. And I would be surprised if it did not continue, because that's just – sometimes you just have that trait as a defense, and that seems to be who they are.
Let me hit you guys with a – this will make some people roll their eyes, but it's positive for the Browns, so I'll throw it out there. There's an advanced stat called defensive SRS, which basically if you score a zero, it means you're an average defense. And the higher above zero, you're good, And the Browns have been a negative number for most of the past, 20 years, almost every year. And even when they've had a positive number on defense like they did in 2011, they were a 1.8. Their defense right now, and according to this analytic, is a 14.3.
Yeah, 6 turnovers in week 1 to do that for you.
Yeah, which is the highest number in the history of the franchise. So whatever that's worth, I'll throw a little positive analytic at you. Are you anti-analytics?
I know, I'm not an analytics guy.
But it's here's the problem, is everybody sees, Sashi Brown did this. First of all, while I don't think he did a great job, neither did every other GM the Browns had before now, and those guys weren't analytics guys. And he did do some good things, like give them a ton of cap space and get them a ton of draft picks that John Dorsey was able to use. And he did draft Myles Garrett, and he did draft Ogunjobi, who looks like a player, and Jabril Peppers and David Njoku.
He gets all the credit for that? He gets none of that credit?
For the draft?
Absolutely. He's the head coach. How did he not get any credit for the draft?
Well, because every player that flamed out, he said it wasn't his guy. It wasn't his pick. So if he's not going to take the blame for the bad guys, he can't get the credit for the good ones.
I don't know.
Dustin, do you think Hugh Jackson had anything to do with drafting anybody the Browns
draft? How does the head coach not have a major say?
I would hope he'd have a major say in it.
Really? Come on.
Over the G? You think
Hugh had a major say? I'm not saying over. Yeah. I'm saying it right there are equal.
There's got to be some collaboration
here. Yeah.
All right, then he's got to take the hits for Cody Kessler.
What?
He's got to take the bad hits with the good hits if you want that. But the point is that, so everybody pointed to that. Meanwhile, the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl last year, are fully invested in analytics. Hmm. But the difference is, they didn't blow it up the same way the Browns did, which is kind of stupid to say the Browns blew it up, because it wasn't like they had any talent before the last 2 years. I mean, they were a bad team for years and years. I think it's revisionist history to say they just blew it up 2 years ago. Which, by the way, was a smart thing to do, because now they've been able to accumulate all this talent that Sashi drafted some and that John Dorsey has really jumped on.
Did I not just see a stat of every first-round pick, for the last 12, 13 years, none of them is on
the
roster?
None of them are on the team.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Sashi Brown's only responsible for one of those guys. The rest is
– okay.
The rest is all the other GMs who, again, were football guys. I think the problem is people hear analytics and their eyes glaze over. And that's what baseball people used to do. And now every baseball team uses analytics. I think it's part of the process. The NFL teams that will ignore analytics will be doomed for failure, I believe, if you completely ignore it. Analytics, people get confused by the word. It's just stats that help you make decisions.
I think they're part of the process. I think it has a place.
Yes.
But in the fourth quarter,
when you need
to be tougher than the other guy,
right,
mentally and physically, yeah. I just don't see where that comes
into play. No one's saying it does.
Nobody's saying it does. Just like in baseball, in the end, the manager's got a gut feeling about a thing, and it might go against the numbers, and sometimes he's got to just do that, which it goes against the numbers, whether it's baseball or football or whatever. But if you're at fourth and inches on the midfield stripe, and the numbers and the analytics tell you that 87% of teams in that spot get a first down, it might be wise to go for it on fourth and inches at the 50-yard line. No?
I don't think the coach is thinking about that
at all.
Not in that moment.
I think you got to be on. I think the good coaches are. I bet you Belichick is.
Could be.
And I know the Eagles were
Belichick
last year.
Belichick for sure is.
He is.
Listen, most teams are.
You got those numbers. You use it. It's part of
some degree. No one's sitting there saying, "Well, oh, these numbers are going to, be the reason we convert this fourth and one or whatever."
We're talking tendencies. Okay, you do this percent of the time. Great,
right.
But you still have to be physically better to go out there and get the 1 yard.
Agreed. No doubt.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the problem was everybody took it. Sashi Brown as, "Oh, the Browns are only using analytics."
No.
It's just a part of the process.
For sure.
It's a part of the process. It's not the whole thing. I don't think you could just do everything based on raw data. That doesn't make any sense. There's human beings, as you say. There's strengths and weaknesses. There's emotions of the game. There's the coach having the feel for his team in that moment. There's something you might do with one team that you wouldn't do with another because of their body language, as you talked about before. Are you confident? Do you feel like your offensive line can maul those guys to get that half a yard? Oh, I'm not confident in my offensive line. I'm going to punt it here, even though the numbers say I shouldn't punt it because I don't trust my offensive line right now. On the other hand, it might be a long shot to make it, be like, my offensive line is dominating. I'm going for the first down on fourth and three, even though the numbers say it. Maybe don't go for it there because my guys are dominating. I think it's the combination of the two. The teams that succeed the most.
Agreed. It's definitely a combination of the two. We will agree there for sure.
All right.
So let's look at this game a little bit on Sunday, guys.
Yes.
As we approach the pivotal point in the season, I think. Because this week was fascinating because I thought that the Browns did not win against the Jets. I thought they would lose this game. But now, the way Baker played, the momentum, and the way the team, I'm sure, feels about themselves now, they have more confidence than ever. And you're catching the Oakland Raiders at a time where they're kind of at a crossroads too. With do they believe that John Gruden's the guy?
Right.
They better.
I'm sure they do.
You got 10 years left.
But they're 0-3. Yeah.
They're a desperate team. There's something to be said for that.
In his mind, he's a rookie coach, so he has a year to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going anywhere. But they're. If the players don't have faith in the coach.
I don't care what happens to the Raiders. All I care about is what happens to the Raiders on Sunday.
Yeah.
I want them to question whether they're any good on Sunday. You know, that's what I want. I want Baker Mayfield to tear it up. You know, they've struggled on defense. And again, you know, Warren Sharp brought up some good points. They had some issues with travel. You know, they had to go to altitude 2 weeks ago. Then they had to go to Miami and play in the heat. So now they're back home. And their opening game was that Monday night late game, memorable against the Rams.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the Rams seem like the best team in football right now, so that's a tough matchup.
They blew a game late to the Broncos.
And in both of I think it's all the games. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a lead at halftime.
Yeah.
In every game.
Right. In fact, they had a good lead against the Rams, and then the Rams just crushed them in the second half.
At least a touchdown, weren't they?
Yes.
Or two touchdowns.
How about this, guys, for the Raiders in terms of unusual? In terms of the stats, the Raiders, in terms of yardage offense, they are sixth in the NFL.
Yeah. Derek Carr is playing really good football besides the turnovers.
But in terms of the points, they're 28th. How about that difference?
Wow.
Sixth in yards, 28th in points. It's funny. It's almost like Derek Carr looks so great as a rookie, and his second year he got better, and then he wasn't great last year, and you see Gruden criticizing him a lot. It's really weird.
I think he's playing good football.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, kids had 3,200, 3,900, 3,500 last year. and he's off to a good start. He's completing 76% of his passes right
Gruden's
now.
Gruden's been critical, he said, which I don't get. Gruden said he took too he was too aggressive at the end of the game. Have you ever heard a coach say that about a quarterback? Too aggressive?
My judgment on John Gruden right now.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I'm still waiting to see if he's in this decade. He may still be coaching, you know, from what he was used to back in 2002, 2003.
That's right.
I don't know if he's graduated to what these guys are doing right now, which is yet to be seen.
Remember,
but, I mean, the guy's completing 76% of his passes. So what are you saying, Coach? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want to do? Who's your backup? Who the hell is their backup?
I don't know.
You want to go to the backup?
Yeah, I mean, he's 312 yards a game, 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Obviously, he had 3 against the Rams in week 1. But, I mean, I think he's playing good football, and the Browns' defense has to be ready to go, because what you don't want to do is take this team for granted.
Sure,
no. Go out there feeling yourself, and he goes out there and lights it up with Amari Cooper. You don't want to have that happen. I feel good about the Browns' D because, they're opportunistic, and I think that they can get some turnovers from Derek Carr and hopefully pull out this victory. But you can't go out there feeling yourself right now after one victory. And that's what I hope these guys are mature enough and professional enough to do, because sometimes the hardest thing is success as opposed to being – they're used to losing. Now you have some success. Everybody in the city's patting you on the back.
Right.
I mean, are they going to be able to be professional enough to go out there and take and get another W and use this momentum? That's what we have to see and find out who this team is.
And this is a winnable game. I mean, you're a slight underdog because you're on the – if this was a neutral field game, the Browns are a slight favorite. So Vegas thinks the Browns are a slightly better team than Oakland. I think I get that. Derek Carr is certainly more proven than Baker Mayfield is. You know, Marshawn Lynch is not elite anymore, but he's still a decent back.
Yeah, still beast mode.
You know, and Amari Cooper's a talent, although he hasn't put up big numbers since his rookie year, but he's still a talent. They got, who's their number two receiver? Why am I drawing a blank on that?
You said Amari Cooper.
Nelson. Nelson showed
Jordy
out.
Nelson is
Jordy
a,
Nelson
yeah.
showed
yeah.
out. And then Cook, Jamel Cook. I mean, you know.
Jared Cook. Sorry. Yeah, the tight end's a good yeah. player, yeah, yeah. too. So yeah.
They got some talent. They got talent. So the Browns have to go out there, focus, and take care of business. And yeah. they should win the game. But at the same time, no game is a gimme. Everybody thought the Vikings was going to blow Buffalo out of
that
the water.
That was crazy.
You can't.
Well, Jacksonville
anything.
Lost to Tennessee.
You can't predict anything in this
Pittsburgh,
week. Pittsburgh,
New England lost to Detroit.
You never know what team is going to show up. So they just have to stay focused day to day, get better, and go out there and make enough plays to come back with a W.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back, we'll do a little Buckeyes as well. Obviously, this past Saturday was a cupcake, but we got some real competition coming up now. Oh, we know about that. I think you're nervous.
Oh, I'm absolutely
nervous. You are a little nervous.
Oh,
about
listen, Happy Valley, man. Yeah. One of the, I think, the toughest place to play in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Happy Valley. That rocking. Period. Rocking.
Right. It's going to be a whiteout, guys.
The Ohio State Buckeyes had a bye. Didn't they have a bye this past week? Was
yeah,
that it?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I mean, I know you were locked in. You never miss a play.
Well, I watched every second of it. I watched it twice already. Getting ready for next week, not because of that game.
By the way, there was somebody had Dwayne Haskins being drafted by the Patriots in the first round of a mock draft.
My goodness.
Makes perfect sense.
He looks good.
I mean, I think he's a first round talent. I don't see
where
anything.
Where are the Patriots picking? Like,
well, yeah,
as I of mean, now, they're late. Picking like middle. No, not late. Middle of the first round right now.
It's early.
Yeah, but I can see that.
Yeah, certainly. I got to say I'm a little disappointed the Buckeyes allowed Tulane to score 6 points.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough to watch. You know, with me being from New Orleans, I wanted the skunk, you know. But at the end of the day, we got to deal with the 6 points.
Did they cover? Yeah, I think they did. I think it was like 35. Yeah, all right. Anyway, guys, in terms of the Buckeyes, we go from a nothing game against Tulane where they just manhandled them and took care of business. But this Saturday, we got a hell of a game. The Buckeyes go to Penn State. As you said, you think it's the toughest place to play. It's a night game. It's 7:30. It's on national TV on ABC. If you haven't been locked in yet, and you probably were with the TCU game at least, but this is another level. Penn State is ranked in the top 10. You talked about it. Obviously, there's a big rivalry. This is going to, and it's a night game. Going to be a lot of fun Saturday night.
It is. Yeah, I'm really much, very much looking forward to this.
You're going to be on a plane, right?
I'm going to be scrambling during the course of this. This game kicks off at 7:30.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like Kevin McAllister on my way to the airport. trying to catch a plane to Oakland on Saturday night from Denver, Colorado.
You got the app on your phone?
I'm not going to do it while I'm driving, but I will do it when I'm in the airport. And I believe I have Wi-Fi on my plane.
Oh, so you can watch the whole thing. There you go.
And TV on my plane, too.
There you go.
To San Francisco. So, yes, but I am locked into this game. It's always a big game for me and my family because my brother played at Penn State, so it's like a whole like family deal. My brother's going. They got an RV. They have like 40 people going tailgating.
Wow.
And Happy Valley, so they're going to be all jacked up for the game.
Is it going to be – most of his friends here are probably Ohio State fans. So.
Yeah. No, it's a mixed bag of people who are going out there. But he's got all his Penn State connections and stuff.
Yeah. Now, this is going to be great, guys.
Oh, yeah. I know you're excited about this game. You don't get that excited about college football games.
I don't generally.
It's a low spread, too. It's only 4 points.
Yeah.
Ohio State?
Favored by four, yeah.
Oh.
You know, both teams are 4-0. Penn State has with App State in the first week went to overtime.
Yeah.
But obviously their offense, the last 3 weeks, they have scored 177 points. Now, you know, Pitt's okay, aren't
Pitt's
they?
It's a good football. That's a rivalry for them. So
you know, Penn State and Illinois stink. But still, Pitt's a pretty good team. But and they've got Michigan State next week. Penn State. They've got Michigan State at home too. But obviously they're not looking ahead past Ohio State. This is a great game, and this is a huge game in terms of who could eventually win this division.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the winner of this definitely goes on to win the eastern side of the conference. Penn State, man, I still have nightmares about that 99 game up there. LeVar Arrington, Courtney Brown. I mean, boy, it was a rough day at the office up there.
Derek Fox.
Oh, it was a – was he?
Yeah.
I got to go back and research that. I just found out your brother played there like last week. So I got to look into that.
I'm going to show you a funny picture here.
But, man, like that is a great college environment, man. I mean, they get it crunk up there.
Remember this picture? Look at this picture. LeVar jumping over to sack.
Don't you do me like that.
Look at my brother in the background, number four.
Look at you. Look at you.
Isn't that funny?
Listen, I made his highlight tape on draft day. I went to cut him. He hit me with the Superman and almost disconnected Steve Belisar's head. Sorry, Steve. My bad, buddy.
LeVar jumping over, and then there's Derek.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Dude, all I can hear on that play is Coach Spencer. Oh, man, I got cussed out so bad. I heard him over the 105,000. I'm laying on the ground. I'm like, because he told us all week, don't cut him. He's going to jump. Don't cut him. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, don't cut him. Okay, cool. But, boy, I got two steps from that monster. I'm like, I'm cutting him. And he took off. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's funny.
Yeah, but great memories, though. This is going to be a great game, man. I'm worried about the Buckeye defense. The second level, the linebackers are probably the worst I've seen in a long time here. They got a lot of work to do at the linebacker level right now. The defensive backs, the safeties, they don't have a lot. They don't have a really good feel for the ball when it's in the air, number 23 specifically. But – I think that Penn State can score a bunch of points. I mean, Trace McSorley is a really, really, really good quarterback.
Yeah.
They have a nice running back. And those wide receivers go up and make plays in one-on-one situations. So this game is going to be another exciting game.
It's huge. And Penn State's got a tougher schedule the rest of the way because both teams still play Michigan and Michigan State. But Penn State's got to play Wisconsin. Ohio State doesn't play Wisconsin this year.
Thankfully.
So Penn State's, got four games against ranked opponents left. Ohio State's only got three. But, obviously whoever wins the Big Ten is going to go to the college football play. Well, I shouldn't say obviously, but most likely.
Yeah.
Especially if it's Ohio State or Penn State.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the winner of this game is in great shape. And if Ohio State wins, you got your next two games at home against Indiana, Minnesota, then at Purdue, and then Nebraska at home. If Ohio State wins this game, you never know.
Right.
But they probably will be 9-0 going into the Michigan State game if they win this one.
Another big one. That's another big one. That Michigan State, that's another great rivalry. I mean, listen, we just got to take it 1 week at a time, but we definitely got to be ready to play. We're missing Bosa. I think that hurts us a lot.
Yeah.
Even though they have depth up there on the defensive front, but missing a guy like that who can give you a strip sack here at any play, you were definitely missing that guy coming off the edge.
Speaking of the Bosa thing, isn't it weird? Like Urban Meyer said, he's going to be back soon, and then all of a sudden it comes out from Bosa's camp, he's not going to be back till at least November.
Listen,
that's weird.
Because here's why: because they're probably being conservative, and Ohio State wants to say, they'll take it week to week or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah,
and Bosa's camp wants to say, hey, we may not be back until late in the season.
Right.
And then late in the season,
he might not play anymore.
Then late in the season, then you can make the call. and people would understand, hey, man, you're not coming back this year.
Yeah, coaches. That's a coach's answer.
Yeah, right.
I hear you. Do coaches say what coaches are supposed to say? I was on my way in, and you got on Hugh for what he said at the press conference.
Yeah,
I mean, coaches say what they're supposed
to say. What did I get on for? I forgot.
I'm about to say so much.
I get on for everything. You didn't have to suffer through the last 2 years like we did.
I did not. I admit it. So, hey, I give you guys a pass. I'm not mad at that.
Listen, if Hugh gets it done, if he wins enough games, good. Listen, when they first hired him, I was like, great hire. I love it. And I feel like he's made a lot of excuses for the last 2 years, which I think
excuses are facts.
Some facts, some excuses. He threw guys under the bus. By the way, we were yelling at Isaiah Crowell before. That's a classless.
I heard that. I heard that on the way in.
I don't like that stuff.
Yeah, that was pathetic. That was terrible.
Come on. That was terrible.
I'm not. Listen, you want to celebrate in the end zone? Whatever. Do whatever you. But come on.
Sounds like you want to put him in jail over the guy who spit on the pizza.
I don't believe in putting people in jail unless they commit serious crimes.
The guy who spit on the pizza, by the way, he needs to get probation.
I
know people who go to jail, do their time for their crime, and they still come out and they have probation for years after that. He at least needs to get on probation.
Well, community service, there you go. Jonathan, good stuff, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, J-Dub. Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Let's get her done.
People still think you're beanie, by the way.
Why are people calling? I got a tweet about that. Tell Beanie this.
It's number 28, same position, same last name.
We say your name all the time. I don't understand.
It's the same position, same last name.
I don't take it personally because, number one, I know why Beanie wore 28, which they don't know. Yeah, obviously, there was something there for him to want to wear that number, but we'll leave that alone.
You don't want to say?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But the point is, I love the kid. I love him. I'm his biggest supporter. I'm his biggest fan. But at the end of the day, I get tired of hearing it, though.
Yeah, it's annoying. Yeah. And it's not like if his first name were Jonathan also, then I could maybe understand it. But
most fans aren't really fans. Wales 28. That's all they know.
That's all they know. Yeah.
All right. Well, good to have you, Beanie. We'll talk to you next
week. Check.
Yeah. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.